L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5. The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and Connor Newt here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday, a humid day in our fair city. That's right. I said humid, not humid. Sorry, everybody.
But see, you're showing that you're capable of saying it correctly.
You just got to slow yourself down. That's all.
But it feels weird in my mouth. Don't clip that.
It's clipped.
Thank you. Clip it, please.
The word humid, it feels weird to say. Humid. It, like, the way it makes my mouth feel, I don't care for it.
But doesn't it feel good to say it correctly?
Exactly. Every once in a while.
Slow it down. Is it soda or pop?
Would your family be in shock? Like, I'm talking about your mom and dad. If you came home and said, humid, just said it. Every time it came up, you would pronounce the H's.
If they would be in shock, but they also swallow their H's.
And that's what I'm saying.
As they are native New Yorkers.
That's how you learn.
Yes.
But if you go in the house and start not swallowing your H's, they would think something was wrong with you.
There are other reasons my parents think there are things wrong with me other than the way I talk. So they've got plenty of material as far as I'm concerned. I got to visit them last weekend. It was wonderful.
That's great.
Yes, we've got a full show planned for you today. In roughly 20 minutes, Shayna Goldman, NHL analyst for The Athletic, will join us. She wrote a story about the Predators and how the Predators can get back to contender status. So we'll break down all of that with Shayna Goldman in roughly 20 minutes. But let's start the show by sticking with the NHL. Speaking of places that are humid, Las Vegas, Nevada, where the Vegas Golden Knights completed their sweep of the Colorado Avalanche, a 2-1 win last night. Game-winning goal scored by Cole Smith, former Predators forward. But the Golden Knights sweep the Avalanche. You could argue one of the biggest upsets in Stanley Cup playoff history?
No.
Would you put it up there?
No. I don't think so. I think Vegas has won too many games over the last several years to ever put them in that big of an underdog. Do you disagree?
Well, here are some stats that you shared with me.
Right, so I know the stats, but this is a good debate, I think.
Here are some stats that you shared with me, courtesy of ESPN Insights. The Golden Knights are the first Stanley Cup final team with under 40 wins in an 80-plus game season since the 2002 Hurricanes. Their 95 points in the regular season would not have been enough to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and they were plus 2,500 to sweep the Avalanche. And the Golden Knights are a fabulous team. Again, they have made they've made the Stanley Cup final three times now in nine NHL seasons. They've made the playoffs eight times in nine NHL seasons. I believe they've made the conference final five times?
Yes.
In nine seasons. So the Golden Knights they're a great team. But considering where the Golden Knights were near the end of the regular season, we were wondering if they would even make the playoffs. I remember when the Golden Knights came here to Nashville, I believe it was a Saturday afternoon, and they were in the midst of a terrible slump. They could not score. They could not get saves. And you wondered if the Golden Knights would fall out of the race. And ultimately, they made a decision to fire Bruce Cassidy with like a week left in the season. John Tortorella has taken them to the Stanley Cup final after being the coach for eight regular season games, I believe. But as I'm watching the game last night, it is hard not to be envious of what Vegas has built in such a short amount of time. The number of playoff games they've won. I believe they've won more playoff games in nine seasons than the Predators have won in their existence. Again, different rules in the expansion draft. That plays a part in it. But again, really impressive stuff from the Golden Knights. Completely shut down the Colorado Avalanche defensively. The Avalanche were hampered by injury, notably to Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. We wonder what happens to the Avalanche now. Perhaps their GM could be on his way here. Chris McFarland, we'll find out.
It's pretty quiet right now. I am curious what wheels might be turning behind the scenes based on all the reporting. And Elliot Friedman had his latest podcast this morning that I'm sure we'll get to. But yeah, I spent a lot of time last night thinking about Vegas. And the conclusion I have is they have been rewarded for being daring, but I don't know that anybody could do it like they've done it. The uniqueness of the environment when they had the expansion advantages, and this is all, you know, to give them full marks for how they've done it, but I just don't think it's something that you can emulate in a lot of ways. I do think the mantra of fortune favors the bold can be emulated for sure, but the way they've done it is pretty unique. I give them a lot of credit. And when they came into Nashville, the game you're recognizing, Adam, that the Predators won, I think everybody who watched that game walked away thinking, it's just a matter of time. I never thought they weren't going to make the playoffs. It was all year long, and you know this, their analytics were way, way better than their record. They didn't win the overtimes, which that's the only reason they didn't win 40 games. They had a bunch of games in overtime that they didn't win for one reason or another. I'm not really sure why, but I always thought they were a playoff team. It was very simply that the shots weren't going in based on the quality they were getting, and they had very poor goaltending for most of the year, and they have solved both of those things. And so it didn't surprise me. It was a shock to see them sweep the Avalanche, no question about it. It wasn't a huge shock that they won the series, especially when you consider the Avalanche and their health.
The one thing, Derek, about the Vegas Golden Knights that a lot of people point out, other than the fact that they are incredibly cutthroat, ruthless, whatever adjective you
daring,
want to use,
daring,
all,
yeah,
all bold, of all of those things, is they have a knack for finding top players frustrated in their situations, bringing them to the desert, and that replenishing them. Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, and now Mitch Marner. And the hockey gods have a twisted sense of humor, because Mitch Marner, his first season out of Toronto, is going to the Stanley Cup Final. Mm-hmm. He's the leading scorer in the NHL in the postseason. I believe he has 21 points in 16 games. He's the current frontrunner for the Conn Smythe Trophy, the playoff MVP award. And we see this across all sports. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those superstars need that change of scenery to truly find their role, their happy place, whatever you want to call it. But Vegas, this is part of their history, their brief history. They target these players, these superstar players, on languishing teams and bring them to Vegas, and they become fabulous. So I would love to know from an athlete standpoint what that's like. I mean, perhaps you experienced this when you made the switch from Tennessee to Baltimore. Sometimes just that change of scenery can do a professional athlete so much good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Golden Knights have been risk adverse. They've, you know, taken situations that were, you know, uncertain and took them on, and they benefited from them. It happens in every sport. I can, you know, you go to New England. New England was risk adverse. They would bring in guys that kind of sort of were labeled as locker room guys, guys that didn't sort of get along with everybody or made like a ruffle in the locker room. They took those guys on, and because they got a structure, those guys fall in line no matter what. As long as you got good leadership within the building, more importantly, within that locker room, no matter who they bring in, they are going to adapt to the system that's already there. So you can take these different guys that may have been disgruntled and wanted to get out of deals. And Vegas looked at it as if we got a strong enough locker room, strong enough management that we can bring them here and they will fall in line, so to speak. And it's rang true. It's been proven. So it's not necessarily guys, whether people believe it or not, guys in professional sports want structure. They want it. They're like kids. You want, it's just, I'm honestly speaking, you want structure. Why? Because you thrive in structure. And maybe because of them being disgruntled in one place, it messed up the structure. You come to another place that has a strong locker room, you can't disrupt that structure. If you do, then you're gone.
I think there's a lot to that, for sure. I think there are a lot of organizations, too, that would have probably been just as daring and just as bold, and it's gone completely the other way.
Yeah.
It, you know, so I think it doesn't mean that this is the only way to do things. I think there's a lot of different ways to have success. And specifically on Marner and changing addresses, I think one thing about Marner that I think about is the fact that he was in his hometown playing for the hometown team that happens to be the most... I don't know what kind of microscope.
The center of the hockey universe.
Well, what kind of microscope would be the most extreme microscope? I don't know. I don't know enough about the different kinds of microscopes.
Googling most extreme microscope.
But whatever is like the most fine-tuned microscope. You are under the microscope in your hometown as a star player making a lot of money. And he was just not comfortable there. And in Vegas, it's the opposite. You get lost in the shuffle. It's a sea of people from... literally all over the world when you're walking through Las Vegas, and then you get off into the where people live and you're isolated. You're not surrounded by hockey fans wondering why you didn't do this or that last night. And I think he has thrived in that environment. And man, is that ever getting talked about in Toronto right now?
I'm sure.
So Bruce Arthur of the Toronto Star wrote a column about Marner making the Stanley Cup final, and Arthur had a quote from Ray Ferraro, ESPN NHL analyst, former NHL player. And Ferraro said to Arthur, I asked him, meaning Marner, I asked him once, how do you like it out there, says Ferraro. He goes, at night, I walk my dog out in the street. It's awesome. That's the thing he mentioned, and it stuck with me. I walked my dog in my neighborhood.
There you go.
Something as simple as being able to walk your dog at night. That changes a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
Chuck says, will this be the first time former Predators have faced off in the Stanley Cup final? I don't know the answer to that, but on the Vegas Golden Knights side, you've got Cole Smith, game-winning goal last night, Colton Sissons, Jeremy Lauzon. I am especially happy for Colton Sissons to have the opportunity to go back to the Stanley Cup final. A much different experience for him this time than when he went to the Stanley Cup final in 2017, when he was thrust into number one center duty against the Pittsburgh Penguins with Ryan Johansson out of the lineup because of injury. A much different role for Colton Sissons this time, but very happy for him personally. On the other side, Carolina's up 2-1 on Montreal. Game four is tonight. If Carolina advances, Mark Jankowski, a member of the Carolina Hurricanes, Alexander Carrier, a member of the Montreal Canadiens. So
both have played very good roles for those
Jankowski,
two teams.
Jankowski is part of a very productive fourth line for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Sneaky good.
So a former member of the Predators is guaranteed to lift the Stanley Cup in a couple of weeks. I don't know the answer to your question, Chuck. Is this the first time former Predators have faced off in the Stanley Cup final?
I would have to imagine it's happened before.
By the way, the Golden Knights have 74 playoff wins since 2018. The Predators have 56 playoff wins in franchise history, Andrew says. The Golden Knights now have more Stanley Cup appearances with different coaches than the Preds have total coaches. Zero playoff series wins combined. Let that sink in for me and all Preds fans. If Trotz's successor isn't more aggressive and innovative, this franchise is doomed, not being hyperbolic. Well, we'll find out who that new GM is. Maybe it's Chris McFarland, or he's vice president or president of hockey operations. That was the rumor out there. Now the Colorado Avalanche have been eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's going to be an interesting summer, I think, in Denver. But we'll see if the Avalanche's elimination leads to any progress on the Predators' GM search.
That's what to look for, no doubt about it. one more point on the philosophical ways of Vegas. I just think it's very easy in an environment like this to say, see, do it like they do it. Remember, I'm a Mets fan. Let's just give you, I could go back through the history of the Mets, which nobody wants to hear, but let me just keep it quick. The Mets blew a big lead last year in the standings, a big lead, choked on the last weekend of the season and missed the playoffs. What did they do? They turned over about half the roster. They didn't fire the manager, but they overhauled the clubhouse. They have a completely new set of players. And you know what happened? They got worse. They're awful right now. There's circumstances. So I'm just saying that if you're sitting there going, yep, Vegas has got it all figured out, let's do what Vegas does, that's not the only way to do it, and it doesn't always work. I promise you, the Mets have done it many times in their history. Most of the time, it hasn't worked.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Vegas Golden Knights advancing to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time in 9 seasons, sweeping the number one seeded Colorado Avalanche in the Western Conference Final. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll keep it on the NHL and the Predators. Shayna Goldman of The Athletic wrote a story earlier this week, Predators Stanley Cup Contender Checklist. How can Nashville escape the mushy middle? We'll discuss that with Shayna coming up next. 615-737-1025 today. The Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park. First pitch today is at 6:35 p.m. Catch all of the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt tells me the theme of today's show is colors. So red, red wine.
Okay. This is one of my faves right here.
It's a good one.
This is a good one. UB40.
Jinx.
Staple.
This is a relaxing song, man.
You know who wrote this song? Anyone? Anyone?
Bob Marley.
Nope. Sounds like it. You'll be surprised when I tell you.
Who is it?
Neil Diamond.
Oh.
Ah.
It was a Neil Diamond song. But remade into the reggae feel from UB40.
Was that him singing it?
Oh, no, that's UB40. Yeah, yeah, okay, it's a remake, but the writer of the song. Oh. Neil Diamond does do a version. It's a little different. Oh, okay. It doesn't have the reggae vibe like UB40. Like,
yeah.
We will be joined momentarily by Shayna Goldman of The Athletic as we await Shayna. Steven from Hendersonville on our text line says, the Vegas way is a hell of a lot better than the Predators way.
It's easy to say that after the fact. And you know what? The Predators didn't get the benefits that Vegas got in the expansion draft, so it's hard to compare the two. But look, if you're sitting, I'm taking a tough position saying don't do it like Vegas is doing, because they're everything they do works. I don't know how. Everything they do has turned up properly for them. I almost said golden, but that'd be too corny.
Well, you could have used it.
It's okay. They're the Golden Knights.
You could be corny.
It would have been, you know.
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Shayna Goldman, NHL analyst from The Athletic. Hi, Shayna. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. So earlier this week, you published a story with the headline, Predator Stanley Cup Contender Checklist. How can Nashville escape the mushy middle? And this is a part of a project you are doing at The Athletic, looking at all of the non-playoff teams in the NHL and determining how far or close those teams are to contending for a championship. And in doing this analysis, you're relying on what's called the Stanley Cup Checklist. So for those who are unfamiliar, explain the methodology behind the Stanley Cup Checklist. What are you looking for as you evaluate all these teams?
So the checklist has evolved over the years. It used to be just, you know, base values for players, that all-encompassing, it was game score value added, which Dom Bushishin came up with, but he tweaked the model to have offensive and defensive ratings and have more usage adjustments. So now with this update, it's a way to show not just what you need value-wise, but what roles you need and what the ideal values are for that role, right? So if you have a franchise or a star forward, what does that look like as an elite core player? What does a defensive or shutdown threat look like in different capacities? throughout the elite supporting and depth cores. So it's based on, you know, past Stanley Cup winners, and it has 13 roles, which not every team, not every winner is going to fit perfectly, but there's a threshold. So, you know, there's luxury players, there's ideal players, but you also have some that are just passable that sometimes you can make up for if you have strengths elsewhere. You know, we like the roster, it's built on paper is one thing, but obviously playing the game is totally different, but it helps to check as many boxes as possible.
So when you applied the Stanley Cup checklist, Shayna, to the Nashville Predators, what did you find?
It's, you know, it could be better. The problem is this is a team that has a reputation for landing in the middle, right? It's the mushy middle, the dreaded middle, whatever, you know, you call it. And that can be a team that just makes the playoffs but is bound for round one exits. That's a team that could finish just outside the postseason and is in poor draft pick positioning. And it feels like that's where they're headed again this year. So every player that's on this list, we use their projected net ratings and offensive and defensive ratings. So it's based on 3 years worth of data. So it's not just based on last year alone. It's weighed for recency and, you know, adjusted for aging. And those age adjustments are what really hurt the Predators here. Because at the end of the day, as good as Ryan O'Reilly was this year and as good as Roman Josi is, those players are going to be older. They're in their mid-30s. So we try to account for that as much as possible, because while someone like Josi is going to age more gracefully than the average defenseman, like, we all know what shortcomings could be ahead for him and what areas of his game could take a step back. And I think the big issue is you don't see that second wave there enough behind him, behind Saros, to have those answers of what this team's going to look like down the line or even next season, because it feels like there's just so many directions this team could go, and none of us know what that is yet.
So, Shayna, for the optimistic Predators fan out there listening, is there anything you found in this study that was encouraging for the Predators?
The core, you know, they still have core players at each position, and that's always a good starting point to have. Like, you have Josi, you have Saros, you have Forsberg. It's just figuring out which way to go from here. And I think that there's two ways to think about it. There is a path for the Predators could just build a team around those players and compete for the next couple of years and worry about the future later. And while it's, you know, a short-term thing, you know, they don't ask how, they ask how many. And if you can get one championship with this core, that's a win. The other way to look at it, too, is that this team could push this new-look management group to change directions and stick to that direction and build a brighter future than they have right now. And there are players that could be valuable via trade. There are some players coming up the ranks that have some value. Luke Evangelista is probably the brightest spot so far if you look at the NHL level of players that they have. And that could be a really promising path as well. We're seeing teams around the league, the Canadians are the prime example of it, of how quickly and efficiently you can pull off a rebuild and get right back into the playoff picture.
As you mentioned, Shayna Goldman of The Athletic with us, you mentioned the Predators, they're still searching for a GM. At least they haven't announced it yet. There are rumors out there that Chris McFarland could be leaving Denver for Nashville in some capacity. Whoever that new GM is, Shayna, if you were advising that person on how the Predators should proceed in the near future, what would you say?
I think it comes down to some of the players with no movement clauses. You know, you have to figure out if any of them are movable at all, because O'Reilly doesn't have a no-movement clause, but the Predators have treated him as such. And that's a player that should have trade value out there if, you know, the Predators take that path of tearing it down. And someone like Stamkos, yes, the contract could be a weight, but this is still an elite goal scorer. And, you know, those don't grow on trees, and it's an interesting offseason because there's not many free agents available. So if the Predators want to take that route, you have to convince everyone to waive their no movement clauses and just go off, tear it down. But I'm not sure that is the path. Like, I would be curious how creative and how out of the box this team could be to go for one more push with Josi, Saros, and Forsberg. And I think it's good it's a new person coming into this organization to decide that, because it's always tough to make those decisions when you have history with those players and with that team and everyone knows what they mean to the franchise. But there is a path to doing that, too. It's just going to take being creative. You look at what the Penguins did in the last year and how they got younger without mortgaging their future, and that's the key here. I think everything the Predators do, you have to keep the future in mind. So it's finding those reclamation projects and the Chinnikovs of the world and trying to, you know, leverage as much cap space as possible to build something, even if it's something that's just for one or two more runs.
Shannon Goldman is with us from The Athletic, a great assessment of the Predators in the offseason. You can go to theathletic.com and check it out. Shayna, you touched on it in the article. I'm really curious how you tried to evaluate some of the younger players, even a notch below the likes of Evangelista and Zach LaRue, because they've been building this group of prospects, a deep pool, for the last 4 years or so. They've been adding assets quietly while they've stayed somewhat competitive. Of course, the wheels fell off last season. But how did you try to work in some guys? Because you mentioned a lot of them by name, some of the top prospects that we don't know how they're going to look the next year or two.
Yeah, so I lean heavily on some of the amazing prospect writers we have. Like, I will be completely and totally honest here. Like, prospects are not my forte. Like, if I wanted to pretend to do that, I truly would be a jack of all trades and a master of literally none. But I lean heavily on, you know, Scott Wheeler's prospect pool rankings came out this spring, and they're a great springboard because he tiers them and you can kind of see what he projects those players' ceilings to be. But I think it's important to include that because when Barrichot first took over, it did seem like the direction was to get younger and focus on the future. So they've gained a ton of draft picks over the years. So they technically have, you know, trade capital if they want it, but they can also use that for themselves. And, you know, it doesn't look like they have a ton of necessarily game breakers in the prospect pool just yet. But, and that's tough, right? Because you look at a team like, say, Calgary, and you could say something similar, like they tore it down. They have talent in the pool. They have prospects. That's exciting. But do you have anyone who's going to be the guy? And you do need a franchise cornerstone to build around. And while it helps that Nashville has them still in place, you want to have that next wave. I don't know if they have that just yet, but I do think they have the assets to find one, if not, and then these young players who come up and be that supporting wave, which is still important to have. So if you have players that can be, you know, have that top six potential, maybe they're not franchise forwards, but maybe they're that scoring forward everybody needs, and they can grow into that role when someone like Forsberg ages out of it.
Well, one guy that caught my attention with your evaluation with the model was Zach LaRue, who, after the Predators traded Cole Smith, he sort of took that role. And, of course, we're seeing Cole Smith is doing really good things for Vegas. So it's even put more, I think, emphasis on LaRue, who was a first-round pick. But you seem to see – your model seems to see some upside with him, which was pretty encouraging. So what do the numbers show with him?
So Dom came up with a similarity score, which takes into account a player's – we use the full year, so 6 months older, 6 months younger of what the player is right now. And you use factors like their physical attributes, so their height, their weight, because that is important. Like, if you're going to look for similar players, they need to have a similar build. But also play driving. You know, are they player that shoots a ton? Do they have a strong defensive value? What's their usage? And you come through all these numbers together and it creates a similarity score and you get a range of outcomes. And at the top of his list, there's really two paths he could take. There's that third line utility forward track, right? Like, and Jesper Foss, I think, is a great example of that. That's a great defensive threat, a penalty killer, sometimes can jump higher in the lineup, but his core spot, like, that's a bottom nine player. And that's a good thing to have, but I wonder if there's more in the tank because he was showing similar traits to players like Ryan Callahan and William Karlsson. And obviously with Karlsson, it's easy to think about that goal scoring year on Vegas. I look at him and think of that shutdown presence who can play make really well and contribute offensively. And I think with Callahan, there's that all situation threat that's a, you know, second line forward. That would be that next tier up. And I think if he can follow that track, you know, you could see him as potentially being that answer to who's the next Ryan O'Reilly, who's the next really strong shutdown threat.
See, to me, they have a lot of players in that category that if you have that next level of development, then I can see a pretty good team. But there's also been a recent history, and you can remember some of these names, like Phil Tomasino and some others that were first-round picks. And Adam is not afraid to remind everybody the list of first-round picks that the Predators moved on from one reason or another. So they're kind of due to have some guys blossom. I think another one would be Matt Wood. And so I'm curious to know what you think of him, because you list him, and I got to make sure I got the term right, as depth forward. But I think based on what they saw last year with him at such a young age, I think they hope there's a lot more there for him, especially when he switched to center late in the season.
Yeah, he's only 21, so he's not even near his peak, right? Like, that's mid-20s. So there's a lot of time for him to grow. And it does feel like, you know, you could say they're due. I think it just shows the importance of a team's developmental staff, right? Because the best way to acquire high-end players is through the draft and development process in this league. Free agency doesn't exist. Trades, you know, are hit or miss too as well. And it takes a lot to bring in a difference maker. But if you can find a hidden gem in the draft and, you know, develop them into their ceiling, or even find a new track for them altogether, that can be franchise altering. That can change everything. I don't think the Predators have that yet. You look at teams like Tampa Bay, right? They're probably the perfect example of it, that they just keep finding guys.
Yes.
They bring them up from Syracuse and they're NHLers already. If you can build that, the strength of that kind of system, and that's what is going to be a big part of the job for whoever comes in to take over in Nashville, you know, you have a better chance of having those players develop into the best versions of themselves. And that, even if it doesn't give them a franchise forward, right? Say they don't have anyone in the system yet with that ceiling, but you can build a really deep approach and do it probably a little more cost effectively too, right? Because it sometimes teams can make a savings when they pay their own guys versus overpaying in the open market, especially in today's NHL. Like, there's a ton of value there. So it does seem like they have some of the pieces. Now it's up to the front office to help them get to that.
Let's tie it into Vegas, because the segment before you came on, Shayna, we had a long talk about how could you ever emulate what Vegas does. It just seems like everything they do is working for them. But one thing that I recognize that I think has been a great thing for them is when they have an opportunity to go after a big fish, they dive in and get them. And Nashville has maybe had some chances to do that over the last few years, and they've been a little hesitant. It's not like they haven't made big trades, like, you know, PK Subban for Shea Weber and Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones, but, you know, a Mitch Marner and a Tomas Hertl, some guys that are on Vegas, those are some big guys that they just went all in to grab. And you kind of mentioned this, you've referred to this. So we've had these philosophical discussions. If somebody like Austin Matthews or Brady Tkachuk, or go down the list, if somebody like that who is rarely available becomes available, they do have the assets to jump in and get that. I'm curious if they take a page out of Vegas's book, if that happens.
I think that is something to learn from Vegas. Like, if they want something, they go for it. They do not care. They're not here to make friends. They're here to build a team. And they're fascinating, too, because, yes, they had some advantages in the expansion draft, but, like, they literally don't care about draft picks. Draft picks are trade capital to them. And I think that's a big part of this lesson here, is it's not just that they go after what they want and generally win because players want to be in Vegas, and they have built an environment that, as cutthroat as they are, you know, if you're going to Vegas, you are going there to try and win. There are no questions about it. It's that top-down commitment to that, and that's the key here. Because a couple teams, I think, this summer, we're going to see them try to make a big splash, because if you're going to acquire good players, you're going to have to do it via trade or offer sheet or something bold. But sometimes you can't just stop at one, right? It's not like we look at Nashville and say, well, if they get Jason Robertson, that's it. It's like, okay, if you go after Jason Robertson, what is your next move? Because Vegas is never just one move. They go after literally everyone. And sometimes, you know, it comes at the expense of a certain position. We've seen it over the years that they built up their defense. It came at the expense of their winger depth, or they, you know, finally fixed the center situation. Now they have to replenish on D, and they have to balance out the cost some way to do it. And they walk a tightrope, and they manage to do it really well. And we'll see how long it works out for them. But you look at this is going to be their third Stanley Cup final appearance. You know, they clearly are onto something here. So if Nashville wants to take note, yeah, go for something. Go for someone if it's out there. Take that swing. Be bold. Be willing. The fact that they have all of these draft picks, at the very least, could just create problems for other teams. Because even if they don't win the offer sheets over, they can force teams to overspend on their own players and then take them out of the running for others and just play disruptor. That could help. But I would say it's a sequence of moves here. like take the page out of Vegas's book where you just go all in. So if they want to make this window work with the core that they have, and there's reason to do so because maybe they can't get out of some of these contracts in the near future, then they have to be ready to just act quickly and aggressively this summer.
Shayna Goldman has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. You can read her work at The Athletic. You can also listen to her podcast, Too Many Men. I recommend it. Shayna, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to do this again soon.
Thanks for having me.
615-737-1025. Let's react to what Shayna had to say. You can too. 615-737-1025. Don't miss GalaxyCon at the Nashville Fairgrounds May 29th through May 31st. It's a three-day festival of fandom with celebrities, artists. We appreciate Elliot Freeman. He'll be on our show tomorrow. He knows full well that people are going to go insane hearing that.
The minute he said it, that's why he had to say, don't know how to
we'll,
go insane.
We'll talk to Elliot more about that tomorrow. But he said twice, before anybody goes insane, because
it's
he knows.
Late. Too
he
late.
Knows.
It's too already late. Gone insane. Yeah.
The idea of, like, I was texting with someone today about that clip, and I said, this is your worst nightmare. Barry Trotz sticking around for another year. No disrespect to Barry Trotz, of course. We all love Barry Trotz on the program.
Well, but I have to believe that Barry Trotz, based on everything he has said, that would not be what he is planning on.
Yeah.
You know, like you saw the emotion the day that he announced the retirement and his desire to be closer to family, all of that stuff. I would be surprised if he's sitting there going, boy, I think I could. I might get one more year.
I can't wait.
I don't think that's where they are. But you know, when Elliot says something, I'm not completely.
Don't go crazy, Willie.
Right. I'm not going to go insane. Yeah, I'm not going insane. Remember Will Ferrell in Old School? He's like, you can't lose your cool, people. You can't lose your cool. Keep your composure.
We'll have
that's
Elliot.
What he's asking.
Yes, we'll have Elliot on the program tomorrow at 5, and we'll surely ask him about that. We appreciate Shayna Goldman from The Athletic coming on the program to discuss her story with the headline, Predator Stanley Cup Contender Checklist. How can Nashville escape the mushy middle? And I think she did a really good job elaborating on what she wrote earlier this week at The Athletic. But, Derek, you were taken by something that Shayna said at the end of our conversation.
Yeah, I think, and maybe like you know, you are a East Coast guy, and she's from New York. Maybe it's just the New York inner that makes it.
She's got the accent.
Yes, and it makes it, like you said, a little bit more spicy.
Grittier, you know?
So maybe it was that. But to me, you know, it's either use the bathroom or get up.
That's the nice way to say it.
I said it a different way off air. I can't say it that way. But either use it or lose it. Use it or move it. You know, either. Because you know these contracts you have, you're stuck with them unless you find a way to trade, you know, get these guys on another team and trade them. But for the time being, you know you have these contracts. So it's either let's go all in and try to win it with this group with smart moves, and you can do that because you guys mentioned, you know, the first round picks that they have.
So one thing the Predators can do, it doesn't happen very often in the NHL, is the Predators can sign a pending restricted free agent to an offer sheet. Remember, we were just reminiscing about this during the break, years and years and years and years ago, when Shea Weber signed an offer sheet with the Philadelphia Flyers. By the way, that contract expires in a month. Can you believe it?
We got to have a party.
We got to have a celebration for that. I cannot believe
that
it.
That contract expires in 1 month.
I thought there was still another year. There had to be another
signed
year.
Signed 14
Bobby
years
Day.
Ago.
Yes. Well, we can name Shea Weber Day.
It's going to be Shea Weber Day, June 30th. Mark it down.
And then the next day is Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st, right?
Oh, that's another great day. Another great day, especially for a Met fan, Bobby Bonilla Day.
So how offer sheets work is if you want to target another team's restricted free agent, you put the contract together, and depending on what the annual average value of the contract is, if the player accepts the offer sheet, his team doesn't match, you have to give up a certain number of your own draft picks. So, for example, Jason Robertson, the high-scoring forward in Dallas, he'll be, I think I said, 27 this summer. Fabulous player. I thought it was an abomination that he was left off of Team USA, although Team USA did win Olympic
gold,
of course.
There's only so much you can complain when you win the gold medal.
Right, but
that was a big one. That was a big one.
I certainly think Jason Robertson deserved to be on the team. Predators fans know Jason Robertson. He's tortured them for years.
He's a great player.
There are questions about his future in Dallas. If the Predators, for example, want to offer an offer sheet to Jason Robertson with a cap hit of $12 million per season, because let's be real, Jason Robertson, he's going to command that sort of salary.
You got to get in that ballpark if you want to play.
The Predators would have to give up four of their own first-round picks. Four of them.
Which they do have.
They can pull this off. And even if the Predators do this and Dallas says, there's no way we're letting Jason Robertson go, we'll match that offer sheet. Well, it screws up their cap potentially. And you've hindered a division rival in the process. And that's what Shayna was talking about, being a disruptor. Maybe you don't get the player, but you screw another team in the process, one that you have to face five, six times a year.
That's cutthroat right there.
Indeed.
Let me ask a question about that particular guy, because there's other offer sheets you can offer, because one thing we have noted many times about the Predators, they don't just have their first round picks. Mm-hmm. They've got a slew of other draft picks in other rounds. And so depending on who you're going after and what you're going to offer them, it might be a different package of picks that you're giving up. So if you wanted to do this, right, and go cutthroat and saying, we're going to get Jason Robertson, we are going to offer something he absolutely has to take and they will not match, would it include this year's first-round pick, which is the 10th pick in the draft? Or I guess the offer sheet wouldn't come until after July 1st, right? You would still have the 10th pick. So that's important to note, right?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, so there it wouldn't – yeah, because you can't even do the offer sheet until after July. That would be after the draft. Mm-hmm. So – to me, that's important, right? You have to be thinking, well, what are those draft picks going to look like? Like so this would definitely be an all-in kind of move that Shayna was talking about, going for the big fish. If you want Vegas, that would be a Vegas type of thing. Disregard the value of draft picks, because I do think you could argue that Robertson, it's not like Robertson's 31. Robertson is how old, Adam?
He'll be 27 in July.
Now that's even younger than it seems, because he has been in the league for a while.
This season, he had 45 goals and 96 points in 82 games. When he was in his age 23 season in 2022-2023, 46 goals, 109 points.
I mean, he's a great player, and he has still got a lot of tread on the tires. So I think you could justify four first-round picks.
And you have them all. What's the use of accumulating these picks when you're not going to use them in a way that, because realistically, if you're thinking about, your team getting better, you're thinking, we're going to be drafting outside of the top 15 anyway, if you're thinking from that standpoint. So what is it to give up the next four first round picks in order to get a guy that's young and is going to be with his friend? He is a, sort of trendsetter in the sense of he's a lead dog.
And this again comes down to what the new GM thinks of the prospects that they already have. Because if you're going to give up the next four first-round picks, you better know. Because what we've been saying all along, in another year or two, it's just not realistic to expect that Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos and Roman Josi are going to be the same guys. They are going to age some, if not extremely, right? There's always a chance when you get 35, 36 that you really dip. So what do you think of Igor Sorin? And what do you think of Brady Martin? All these guys that are already in the system, plus whoever they're going to pick at number 10. You better be sure that core, that we don't know what they're going to look like when they arrive in Nashville, is going to give you a lot. Because if you're going to mortgage four first-round picks, you have the certainty of Robertson, who's still in his mid to high 20s. You could expect he's going to be around for a while. But what's around him? Especially in another 2 or 3 years.
Quickly, some reaction. One texter says, I think the best route is in the middle of these two extremes. Get out from some of these contracts, get even more draft capital and cap space, have one more down year where young kids get more ice time, and then turn on the Vegas aggressive acquisition machine. Matthew from Jolton says, Jason Robertson wouldn't fix the issue. You have to try and get a center. Understood. I mean, Jason Robertson, pretty damn good player. But I understand the point.
He's going to make whoever's centering him better.
We're looking at if Predators fans want the team to emulate the Vegas Golden Knights, this is one thing they can do to accomplish that. And as Shayna said, even if you don't get the player, you can cause a whole bunch of trouble for another team's salary cap by matching that offer. So, I mean, another texter says, Jason Robertson is not a center. Why would you offer sheet him and lose 4 years of first when you do not have a number one center for the future? Again, do you want the team to be good? Do you want the team to
be like Vegas? I see a lot of people text, be like Vegas. Exactly. Well, this would be a Vegas type.
Do you want the team to be good? Jason Robertson is a fantastic player. I know he's not a center. But Jason, like, I just read to you some of his numbers. When have you heard those numbers uttered with the Nashville Predators? Not very often. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, let's keep the theme of championship checklists. Because one notable NFL analyst shared his championship checklist. And we will go over that with the Tennessee Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. The 615 Open Golf Tournament might be sold out. It's tomorrow, by the way. But you can bid on all kinds of awesome experiences to directly support Folds of Honor at 615open.com/auction. Have an unforgettable time while supporting a great cause. That's 615open.com/auction.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.